Good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning, Church on the Rock.
Amen. My name is Rashad Cunningham. I'm the pastor here at Church on the Rock. The reason we do that is because we want people to be excited about God's word, people to be up, awake. Even at 11 o'clock, this can be kind of like, oh, it's a Sunday, I'm still stretching. But we want you to actually be excited for the message of God. So when I say good morning, Church on the Rock, I want you to scream as loud as you can, good morning, Rashad, because it kind of gets us rolling. It gets us in the flow. Good morning, Church on the Rock. Ooh. Okay, I'm sorry. I always look for babies. Did he just come out here?
Yeah.
Okay. I always look for babies. And yeah, she's fine. She's fine. Like, I'm not worried about her. She used to this. She fanned the other day. You know what I mean? So, I'm not going to do it again. The first one was good enough. So here's the thing. I initially, some of you may have saw on GroupMe, I was going to do a series called Back to School, and we were going to teach through all these different doctrinal things for the next 8 weeks. And then I thought about that and was like, that's really heavy. That can get really like burdensome over time, and it gets to the point where people start checking out. And my job is to communicate to you to make sure that I keep you engaged in God's word. So instead, God placed it on my heart to kind of break this up. So every time we take a break, winter break, spring break, fall break, summer break, the first thing we're going to do is have a series that is dealing with some kind of doctrine from now on. And I mean, like, as long as I'm pastor here, that's what I'm going to do. I like the way it feels. So every time we come back as a community from fall break, spring break, any kind of break, I'm going to teach on one doctrinal thing, and then we'll get back into our sermon series and where we're at. So today we are doing back to school, and we are teaching on scriptures. So if you are taking notes, take a lot of notes, because if we don't understand what the scriptures are to us, then all the rest of it doesn't really mean nothing. The song that Tyler sang right there, that second song is the creed, and she's talking about all these things. I believe in this, I believe in that, I believe in this. All of that is from God's word. So if we don't have a right grasp and the capability to understand God's word and know what it means to us, I'm telling you right now, the rest of everything else will just kind of fall by the wayside. So we're going to be in 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. The scriptures say this. All scripture, everybody say all.
All.
All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Next verse, it says, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. This is Paul talking to Timothy. This is like one of his final letters before he's going to be murdered and for being a Christian, persecuted for being a Christian. And he takes time to write to Timothy, who's a pastor over a church that's starting to have some things going on the inside that are coming up against the faith. So like you guys know, whenever I'm not in a full-length series, I like to give context on how we got to this scripture so that you understand why we're here, what this means, and you're not isolating the text and coming up with your own theories on what the Bible says. So for today, we're going to start at the beginning of 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. And I just want to read this to you. You don't have to turn there. But it says, he says, Timothy, basically, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Next verse. He says, for men will be, just look at this list here, lovers of self. Do we see that today? Yeah. Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, keep going, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, so it looks like it's godliness on the outside, but they have denied its power. He says, avoid such men as these. That list right there is in the church today. It's in the world today. Everything on there, I'm sure you could identify it. And sometimes even in ourselves, we can identify those things. He goes on to the next verse, and he says, for among them are those who enter households and captivate weak women or capture weak women, weighted down with sins, led on by various impulses. So these men are the ones who take their prestige, take their position, find a woman who's struggling with lust or struggling with just anything she's struggling with. They go in, and they take advantage of that. And next thing you know, they're sleeping with this woman on the side because she's looking to him as something he's not, and he's telling her all kinds of things that convince her to do these things. There are people that were doing it then, they're doing it now. They're always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He goes on and he says this right here. This is where we start getting into the thick of the context. Verse 8. There we go. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Man of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. And then the next one, it says, but they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also. So who is Jannes and Jambres? We have to understand that to get the full context. If we go to, and I'm going to jump around a little bit, but if we go to the Old Testament in Exodus, chapter 7, verse 11, this is what it says. It says, Pharaoh called for the wise men and the sorcerers. Remember that word sorcerers there. And they also, the magicians of Egypt, did the same with their secret arts. Next verse. And it says, for each one threw down his staff and they turned it into serpents, but Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. So Jannes and Jambres is believed to be, by all accounts, one of the sorcerers that were there in the time of Moses. So this is when Aaron threw his staff down and it turned into a serpent, and then Pharaoh called on the sorcerers, which would have been Jannes and Jambres as well, and they said, abracadabra, we can do it too. They threw their staff down and it turned into a serpent as well. But God showed the difference between what he does and what man does by having his serpent eat up the other serpents. That's like crazy, right? But what's happening is Paul is using this as an example to teach Timothy about how there's people in the church who are going to say basically abracadabra and say stuff that this is going to happen, that's going to happen if I say this or I say that. And he's saying our word, God's word, what we believe in, will eat up their word in the same sense. So go back to my context there. Give me that 2 Timothy 3:14 now, or 3:13, I mean, 3:13. And this is what you're going to see. I'm just bringing you up to the text so that we know how we got here. He says, but evil men and imposters. And in the Greek, that word imposters is the same word for sorcerer. You see that? So this is how it all works together. That word imposter is the same word for sorcerer. So he says, evil men and sorcerers will proceed from bad to worse, not only deceiving you, but they're also being deceived. In other words, some of them don't even know that they're telling you things that aren't truth. They literally believe they are giving you God's word, and they don't even realize it because they themselves are being deceived. But they're saying these abracadabra, these words that don't even line up with God, and yet people are believing and falling away as a result. Just think about this real quick. If that's the case, many of us are accidentally sorcerers. Many of us accidentally tell people things that are complete opposite of God's word and influence people to do something complete opposite of God's word. You ever got a phone call from a girlfriend or one of your fellow friends who's struggling in their marriage and you give them some counsel that is completely against the Bible? Oh, girl, just leave him. Time out, what'd he do? Oh, he's playing video games all night. No, don't leave him for that. Like, no, but I mean, that's an extreme, right? And I play video games all night, so I hope nobody calls my wife and says that. But seriously, we're so quick to just tell somebody something based on our opinion, and it goes against God's word, and we become those sorcerers that the Bible's talking about because it's not God's counsel, it's my counsel. So it says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So he says, whatever you've learned and been convinced of, meaning you actually believe. It's the same word for faith. It says, in those things, continue in that and know whom you've learned them from. So don't go to YouTube and watch a YouTube who you don't know this person, you don't know this cat, maybe it's truth, maybe it's not, but you don't know them. You don't even know them, and you're going to believe them. You're going to take what you hear from YouTube and run and try to tell everybody else what to do. Or you're going to take something off of Facebook that was posted. You ain't got no clue who's posting it, what the intentions of the person posting it is, and you run and you make that doctrine and you make that God's word before you go check it for yourself. Matter of fact, here, that's the reason I pastor the way I do. That's the reason you guys know about all my failures. You know about all my flaws. You know about all the ways that I even contradict myself sometimes. You know this. Why? Because I want you to know me. I want you to know when I come and I'm pastoring, I'm giving counsel, and I'm giving you thanks, it's not with an agenda. It's not because I'm ambitious for anything else except for your soul knowing Christ. You know me, right? And when he's talking about that you've learned this from me, you've learned this from your grandma, you learned this from your mom. You know who you learned these things from, so hold on to them. Don't hold on to the fly-by-night doctrine stuff that just comes out of nowhere. Hold on to the things that you've learned from people you've entrusted your soul with. So then he goes on, we're building up, we're almost there now, and he says, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So look at that. First of all, you see that from childhood. Remember, in the Old Testament and in that culture, in that first century church, people would have started learning about the Bible at 5 years old at a heavy level. They would have been memorizing scriptures at 5 and 6. I don't understand why today in the American church, the hardest ministry to get people to serve in is the children's ministry. I don't get it. I don't know why if we have children, why do we not want to get back there and ensure that they're being raised in the Bible? We come here with this consumer mentality. It's all about me getting mine and not my child getting theirs and not me helping my child getting theirs. And we say, well, I don't think I know enough to pour into the children. You know more than the children do. They children. So pour into the children. So go volunteer for the children's ministry. Get into those things because he learned this from childhood. It's literally breakfast. It's literally infancy. So like even when you're holding the babies and just praying over them and just letting your example be seen, people are learning. They're learning from you. They're growing from you. This is very vital. This is important. We should be kicking down doors to get back there and help with the children at every church, not just the church. Just think about this. If you put God back in the home, it's the byproduct of that is that God goes back into the schools because it starts at the home and then he gets to the schools. But instead, this is what we do. We come on Sunday and we drop our kid off and whatever they get back there, we're good with that. And then we take them home. We don't even follow up with them. We don't even check in with them. And they don't get no more teaching about God till they get back here on Sunday. Then we want to get mad at the youth pastors and the youth leaders because we don't feel they're growing enough and they don't know enough. But it's like, yo, our job is to come alongside you, not teach them for you. That's just real. That's just real. So from childhood, you have known sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. He's saying, hold on to the things you were taught as a child, which means somebody taught him as a child. That's our responsibility as believers, as parents. Even if you ain't got a child, this is our responsibility to pour into the next generation. I've always said, you know more than the person who doesn't know what you know. So if you go back, if you just go back there and you know, if you're here, take notes or record it or something so that you can go and share it with your child. Is that simple? If you just take two notes and share that with your child. Why? Because your child is back there. They didn't get this right here. So you got something to share with them. You already have more knowledge than them in this particular subject. You can teach them on scriptures today just off of what we're talking about. It's that simple. It's that simple. You don't have to go get a Bible education at some college and go into debt and go to seminary and all that. No. Just take a couple notes, remember a couple things, and then press into your child. Pour into them, raise them up. That's simple. So all of this that Timothy was against is what brings him to 2 Timothy 3:16, where he says in 2 Timothy 3:16, bow, all scripture is inspired by God. Now, check the Greek for the word all. It means all. Yeah, I looked at it. I looked really deep, and I was like, man, let me see if I can pull something out. And it said all. So all scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, all scripture is inspired by God. My first point is that all scriptures, the scriptures are God's word. God's word. That is the authority of the scriptures. The fact that it is the creator's word, the creator of the universe, the one who sustains everything. If you walk outside, you know why you don't float off? Because he's sustaining gravity. You woke up this morning. Do you think you woke yourself up? Do you really believe you decided that you were going to have more breath in your life this morning? If you do, I'm sorry to tell you, but that was God's decision. You were awake this morning because it's God's decision. I just said last service, you think, well, I paid the money to live in Brownsburg, Indiana so that I could be safe. There was a drive-by shooting just 2 nights ago in Brownsburg, Indiana. You think you're here because of your location and where you live, and all your security is in God, okay? It's not in your status, it's not in your name, it's not in your paycheck, it's not in anything else but God, period, but God. So if he, the creator of the universe, has written something for you and said it's his word, why would it not be the most important thing in your life? The one who sustains your life has given you a word about your life. Why would it not be something you read all of your life? Help me with that. Help me to understand that understanding, if that makes any sense. It doesn't really, but anyway. So look at this. So this is what happens. To disobey God's word And to not believe God's word is to not believe God and to disobey God. It's that simple. Like, think about this. To disobey God's word and to not believe in God's word is to not believe God and to disobey God. Why? Because this is his communication. There's this thing on Facebook I saw. Give me that picture real quick, Jason. Look at this. You got a man who's on his knees who's saying, "Lord, please talk to me." God hands him a Bible. Like, you want to hear from God? Do you really want to hear from God? You know how we do. We're like, "Oh, Pastor, I've been praying about this Cadillac I want, man. Ryan, this Cadillac on rims, on the 20s, Jeff, with the speakers in the back. What you got, an Impala? Jeff just got a new car. Everybody stay off the roads. But look at this. I've been praying for this new car, man. I don't know if I should do it or not." And I'm like, "Read your Bible." He opens up his Bible and says, "Be content." "I don't know what that's got to do with my car, man. I don't know what be content got to do with my car." And I'm like, "Bro, it says be content. That's not the answer I'm looking for. I'm waiting for God to part the heavens and talk to me. Be content. I don't even know what that's got to do with money, man. That's how we do though, right? Like, we open up the Bible and it's like, be content. Be content with what you have. You don't need that Cadillac right now. You can't afford it, Rachel. You can't afford the Cadillac right now. You know what I'm saying? But you don't want to hear from God for real. You want to hear some kind of approval for yourself. The Bible speaks. It's God's communication. You want to hear from God, open up your Bible. Stop waiting on this supernatural parting of the heavens and him say, "Rashad, my son, wear the Black Panther shirt today." It doesn't work that way, man. Like, that's not how God operates. He can do that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say he can't do that, but he talks in his word. So if he communicates through his word and you say you love him and you want to know more about him and you want to grow in him and all these things that you tell me you want to do, then why won't you pick up your Bible? Why won't you just open up your Bible? "I want to go deeper. I want to know more. I want to open a Bible." I keep telling y'all think I'm smart. I'm not smart. I just read the Bible. I'm not smart. I just read the Bible. I want to know I'm like you. Okay, open your Bible like me. It's that simple. This platform means nothing. Nothing. I'm the same dude in the parking lot. Like, this platform means nothing. Please do not elevate me above you. You are capable of reading the same word I am and receiving the same communication I am. You're capable of doing the same thing if you just open the Bible and let him talk to you, and let him teach you. So what happens is, you start asking, you're like, "Well, Rashad, that doesn't make sense to me. I mean, if he's God, then why is it all these different human authors, right? Like, there's Moses, and there's Paul, and there's James, and there's John. So how did he write it, but it's all these people?" Well, you should see that every Sunday. You think I'm up here talking because you hear my stories, you hear my communication, you hear my personality and all that. But the fact of the matter is, if you receive anything that grows you and gets you in correction with God, it is him that is doing the talking. I'm simply a messenger. And it's the same thing in the Bible. You got all these different authors. He didn't change their personality. He didn't change their backgrounds or any of that. He used them without consuming them. Have you ever heard of the burning bush? How the bush burned, but it wasn't burnt up? It's the same thing. He used all these authors with their personalities, with their backgrounds, to communicate a message. When I was gone for those 5 weeks, you heard four different pastors. One wasn't a pastor, but you heard four different preachers. One Drew's more of a conversational living room type. Matt, he's younger, 16 years old. He just lost his father a couple years ago, and it was Father's Day, so he was speaking from a place of emotions. His first time in front of a Sunday crowd, 16 years old, still gave a message. Willie Davenport did a whole bunch of music and preaching at the same time. And then Jimmy Flowers came in here, and he's a lot more technical and going to hit you with that word real good. I mean, but we're all preaching the same message from the same God, different personalities. It's the same thing. God's word, God's breath, the word there for inspired by God. Go back to my verse. All scripture is inspired by God. It's a compound word that Paul kind of made up. It's theos, like theology, ology meaning study of, theos meaning God, and then pneumas or pneumatos, which is breath or spirit when you're talking about God. So it's God-spirited, it's God-breathed. We don't even have an English word that really could explain it that well, but so Paul put a word together and said, theopneumatos, God-breathed. The scripture is God-breathed, so it's God's word. So here's the thing. Why do we play with it then? Why do we trample it? Why do we ignore it? Why do we take it for granted? If we really believe that, if everybody in here believes that this is actually the word of God, why do we play around with that? Look at 1 Corinthians 6:9. You don't have to turn there. We'll pull it up. But I want you to see this. I want you to see this in 1 Corinthians 6:9. It says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornications, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals. Stop right there. Now, this is where it gets real shaky, because once again, we have had manuscripts, but we've had to change a language we don't know into English, and people are like, well, what does that really mean? So in one translation, it says, plain and clear, homosexuals. Go to the KJV translation, and it says, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And this is where a homosexual may say, you know what, I believe in God, but I don't believe homosexuality is a bad thing. And if you look into the Greek, it says man in bed with man. And therefore, some women will say, well, that didn't say women, it said men, so that's still an okay thing. I can justify it. Here's what I say. I don't know enough to determine which translation was right. I dig in the Greek. I see man lay in bed with man. I see same sex right there. Half of y'all that read the Bible don't even get in the Greek, let's be honest with you. So when you see something that's even close, why not just run from it? Why not just run from it? Because God's word is that important. It's his authority. It's God the creator saying anything in that area, run from it, right? You go on to the next verse and it says like this. It says, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards. This is what happens. I like to drink, Rashad. Okay, cool. So what is drunk? I don't know. I don't know if it's 0.3, 0.8. I don't know if you gotta be toasted, be wasted. I don't know, so I just stay away from it. Now, that's not to beat anybody that likes to drink a beer or wine. That's between you and God, but I'm giving you instruction and counsel. You are responsible for how you respond, not me. My job as a pastor is to say, hey, lovingly, this is what the Bible shows. I can't tell you when you get to heaven if he's going to have a breathalyzer or not, or make you walk a line. And you, I don't know. I don't know what drunkard was. I don't know. And I know there's scriptures that say, hey, he even told Timothy to have some wine because the water was that bad. And when you look at the context, I don't know what that means to get drunk, though, and that is cool. I don't know. So you know what? I'm going to stay clear from it. Not because I'm an alcoholic. Used to be an alcoholic. Sorry. I'm good. I'm good, y'all. But here's the thing. I don't know, so you got to make that between you and God. And if God's word is really the authority, then you have to answer to that. I can only give you instruction. Yesterday we had a cornhole tournament, right? Awesome tournament, awesome turnout for us. There's about three teams, and we're just playing, and me and my partner, he's not here right now. He didn't want to come back because I talked about him last service. But Charles Dotson, if you ever see him, older black guy, he only sits in this area. Me and him are on teams. And we're playing, and we got through the first one. We whooped Dave Nussbaumer and Keith Martin, and I'll say it just like that. Yes, I will. We spanked them really good and went on to the next game where we had to play Jason Shipley. Put your hands up. Awesome in cornhole, but not that great on the slots. And Phil Tucker. And Phil Tucker, who's the guy that's normally greeting you in the front. We're going back and forth, y'all. I mean, boom, boom. And for those of you who don't know what cornhole is, it's like a board on two sides. You're tossing these bags. The goal is to hit the mark. Phil Tucker made this devotion saying, hey, we got to strive to hit the mark. And it all kind of worked in together with this tournament. And we're going back and forth, y'all. And when you're playing cornhole, you have to land right on 21, okay? You're like, point-wise, you have to land on 21, okay? So we take the lead, and we have 21. I'm looking at Charles Dotson, and I said, hey, man, going forward, don't even get in the vicinity of the board. Because if we go over, we go back down to 15, right? Don't even get in the vicinity of the board. Just throw your bags every which way because we have won the game. We are at 21. We are good. You could throw it in the parking lot. I mean, you could throw it behind you. I don't care. Just don't throw it by the board. Period. Don't throw it by the board. Charles looks at me. He goes, all right, Rashad. So you're saying we got 21 and we won the game and I just don't need to get anywhere near the board. Yes, you don't need to get anywhere near the board. We got this. So I'm standing over here. I'm looking at my board because he's over there. He has to throw it this way. And Charles gets up and I'm like, he's going to just throw it over here or something. Charles just kind of threw it in the air. Like no aim, no nothing. Just kind of threw it in the air. And it landed on the board. I ran around the parking lot. What is your problem? How? How did you even throw it in this vicinity? Like, y'all see how big the parking lot is, right? Like, cornhole is about as long as this thing. The whole parking lot he could have threw it in. He could have threw it at 267. I don't care. We would have won the game. But he threw it in the vicinity, and it landed on a board, and we lost. Disobedience. That is classic disobedience. Like, think about this. But this is what we do. This is exactly what we do as Christians. God is like, don't even get in the vicinity of this sins over here, of over these things. Don't even walk around this area. And we like, but what if I land it right there? He's like, no, because what if you don't land right there? What if you land exactly where I told you not to be? And that's what we do because we don't have an appreciation of God's word. He says, don't throw it in the vicinity. Matter of fact, turn around and go to the other. He literally could have turned around and went like that and we would have won. I don't know what he was thinking. But I don't know what we're thinking either. When we start flirting with the things he says flee from, right? When we start dancing around, playing around, just don't do it. Is it really worth disobeying the creator of the universe? Is it really worth it? Are any of those things worth it? Like, I'm constantly talking to people, and I'm like, look, you can wrestle with whether it's okay to live together and not be married. Well, Rashad, but we're not having sex. Look, all I know is you don't even want to be in the vicinity of that. You don't even want to. Why? Because the enemy is still working. Like, y'all forget the devil's alive. Like, he's alive and he's operating, and he's better at what he does than you are at what you do. He's not better than God at what God does, but he's better than you at what you do. So when you start tiptoeing and playing around, I guarantee you he's going to come knock you right on that board. That's what he did yesterday. Man, Charles threw that thing. He claimed he threw it over here. I guess the enemy was just like, nope. Y'all seen Lance Stevenson, right? Like, he just blew it over there. Like, man, I'm still upset about that. I'm sorry. We should have won. You know we should have won. So look. God's word. All scripture is God's word. His authority. Don't play. Don't play with it. Take it serious and just do what it says. The majority of us don't study enough to try to determine what's in and what's out. You don't know the Bible like that. Admit it. Just admit it. I'll admit it. When I see something, there's times I step back and say, you know what? I'm not even going to try to figure all that out. It says this. I'm good. I'm not even going to get in the vicinity of it because I just don't want to be operating out of line. Period. Because I love him that much and I need him that much. And his word means that much to me. So it's God's word. That's the authority of the scriptures. Go back to that 2 Timothy and let me show you what the rest of this says. So it says all scripture is inspired by God and profitable or beneficial for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So those fours, that's a different type of four in the Bible. It means to actually move towards completion. So all scripture is beneficial for moving towards the completion of your teaching, your reproof, your correction, for your training in righteousness. What happens is this. He teaches you about your ways in comparison to his ways. And then reproof is the word for conviction. He convicts you about the things that he's taught you. Then he corrects you about the things you've been convicted on, and then he trains you to keep you along the right way. There's a reason he put it in this order. Everything in the Bible has a specific reason for being there. So this is in this order for example, you open up the Bible, you read something. Rashad, stop cussing people out. Okay. Then he convicts you because if you're anything like Jesus, if you're really trying to imitate Jesus, you will love like Jesus. And even while Jesus was on his way to the cross getting cussed out, he never responded cussing other people out. Man, that convicts me. And then he corrects me or makes me straight. The Spirit starts working with that conviction, and it starts to straighten me out. And all of a sudden, I'm like, you know what? I need to stop responding to people the way I normally respond because that's not how Jesus would do it. And then I continue reading and training and getting put in positions to work this thing out. And all of a sudden, now I've completely changed my desires to cuss people out. Instead, I pray for them. Like, that's how it works. But you got to be in your word. You have to get to, because it says that it's the Bible that does this, right? It's the Bible. It's the reading. It's the opening up the living word that changes what goes on inside of you. You have to open up the Bible. So this right here, this is God's way. It's not only God's word, but it's God's way. It's the necessity of the scriptures. You call yourself a Christian, you need the Bible. You can't play that game of, well, you know, man, I'm a Christian, but I ain't got time to read the Bible. Why not? I mean, I just told you that he woke you up this morning. So the time you got is not even your time. It was his time that he gave you. And you can't make time to read the Bible? The Bible? Where'd that come from? I don't even know where that came from. Bible? I don't even talk like that. The Bible? Think about it. Your 24 hours is what God gave you. You can't find 15 minutes to open up his word? 15? In the morning? You can't get up a little bit early? What's your excuse for not opening up God's word? I don't understand. Because you make time for everything else. Matter of fact, we make time to disobey God's word. Think about it. We schedule time to literally disobey God's word. We schedule it. And we can't make time to just read it, let alone obey it, to just open it up and let it. Why? Because we don't want that. We don't want God's way. We want our way. See, I don't want to read the Bible and get closer to his ways. When I open the Bible, I'm just searching for a verse that's going to make me comfortable with my ways. And then when I can't find it, I won't open it back up. And it's the same. I mean, we see it in all of our lives. It's this prideful lack of obedience, lack of submission. We don't want a pastor. Let's be real. We don't want a pastor, just like we don't want a Lord. We want a Savior. Jesus, my Savior, I'm not going to hell, fire insurance. Jesus, please make sure I get to heaven, all the benefits of Jesus. But as soon as Jesus says to do something, I don't want all that. Same thing with a pastor. Yo, show up to my house, pastor. Show up to the hospital. Show up to the funeral. Show up to the wedding. Show up to this. Show up to that. Show up to that. But when the pastor says, read your word, when the pastor says, gather for this, when the pastor says, come to that, we ain't trying to hear all that. Why are you in my business? Why are you thumping? That's quiet. Yeah, yeah. I'm in the same boat. I did it to my pastor too. I was like, ask Brittany. My pastor used to be like, Rashad, I'm pouring into you. I'm giving you this. I'm giving you that. Can you show up to set the chairs up? I don't know if I got time for that, but I need your time. I don't know if I got time to do the things you're asking me to do, but I need your time. I did it to my pastor for 2 years. Matter of fact, I call him all the time. I'm sorry because I'm going through it now a little bit, but it's that same mentality that we place with the Lord. We'll do it to a human being. We'll definitely do it to his messenger. We look at God and we want all the benefits, so we show up just enough to feel good, to feel like we're not going to hell, right? But then the first time we see something that goes against our agenda, our ways, or what we're comfortable with, we say, nah, I don't like that part of the Bible. I'm going to act like I didn't even see that. Or we hear it in a sermon, nah, it was good in the moment. It convicted me in the moment. I had a feeling, F-E-E-L-I-N-G, but I didn't have a feeling, F-I-L-L-I-N-G. That's real. These are God's ways. And if we're really walking and working out our salvation, 1 Peter 2 says that we should long for his ways, long for the scriptures like a baby. Check this out. It says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, second verse, he says, look at this. He says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. Think about that. You guys got a newborn, right? Look, how much milk does she want? All the time, wah, boo, yeah, money, right. Like, think about it. What would it look like? What would we say about Ryan and Lindsay if the only time that they fed their baby was Sunday morning for 1 hour? Right, you'd call CPS. You'd be like, that's abuse, right? So why are you abusing yourselves? Spiritually, feeding yourselves 1 hour on Sunday morning. And then wonder why you're not growing in respect to salvation. Think about that. If I wouldn't do it to my child, feeding my child the nutrients and the things that they need to grow and develop, why would I do it to myself? The Bible says if you are a Christian, then you will long for the pure milk. And I'm not saying, hey, if you don't like reading the Bible, you're not a Christian, you're not saved. I'm not doing that. I'm not thumping you like that. I'm simply asking yourself to start examining yourself. Why don't you want to read the Bible? If you really believe it is what it says it is, why wouldn't you want to read the Bible? What's holding you back from learning more about the person who died for you? When I met my wife, when I fell in love with my wife, I couldn't stop spending time with her because I wanted to learn more about her. Y'all know what it's like. You on the phone all night. You hang up. You falling asleep on the phone and all that. You're like, I went to sleep. I'm up. I was waiting on you to talk. You know, but you just want to be in the present. You just want to hear him breathe, snore, whatever. Because you cherish him that much, right? Okay, well, this is the one who died for you. Gave his life so that you could have life more abundantly, and you don't want to know nothing else about him except for what he did for you? You don't want to know what he expects out of you? I mean, I love my wife, and she has expectations for her husband. What does it say if I tell her I love her, but I ain't doing nothing she asked me to do? It says that I don't love her. I'm just happy to have the benefits of a wife. That's what you're doing. That's exactly what you're doing. I love God. You don't love God? What's wrong with you? Wrong. You don't love God if you're not carrying the things out that you're supposed to carry out according to his word. Rashad, how do I know what he wants me to do? Open your Bible. He's talking to you. Each and every one of you, individually, he's talking to you saying, these are my ways. You got your ways, but these are my ways. So we open the Bible to learn more about his ways, and he teaches us. He corrects us. He straightens us up. He gets us in order, per se, to be the bride he wants us to be. It's that simple. But some of us don't care about that part, man. And that's why I have to question. When you examine yourself, once again, not perfection, but progression. But when you examine yourself, sometimes when I use that term, I'm scared to use it because what we start doing is saying, well, Rashad said not perfection, but progression. Yeah, okay, but you've been sitting in the same spot for 3 years. Dealing with the same thing that you read in the Bible, God said don't do, and you just won't surrender to it. Do you love him? Because I'm going to tell you what, if I did that with my spouse for 3 years after she said don't do it, that's a divorce. So think about these things. So he says, it's for teaching, it's for the conviction, it's for the correction, so that we may grow in respect to salvation, or training in righteousness. But go to verse 17 now. We're going to start to close this thing around and bring it all the way around. It says, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped. So here's the next point right here. It's God's will. It's God's will. It's not just his word. It's not just his way. It's his will. Give me that third point, Jason. It's his will. It's the intentionalities of the scriptures. Now, check this out. This is why I say don't take the Bible and go thumping people who don't believe in the Bible. It makes no sense. It's not for them. Don't take the Bible and go hitting people upside the head with Bible verses that they're never going to understand because they can't understand it because they don't have God's spirit. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says they won't understand the deeper things of God because they don't have God's spirit. So why are you thumping these people that don't even believe? You start with the gospel and you just love them with the gospel. You let God deal with the rest of that. You just love them with the gospel and be the example and be the truth. But this is what happens. God's intentions is that every man of God, woman of God, child of God is adequate or complete and equipped, capable. You can't be these things without that. And there's a difference between general revelation of God and special revelation. General revelation is similar to, you got Psalm 19 for me? General revelation is going to be like what you go outside and you see the sun. Look at this. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Like literally, the skies talk, y'all. Like you really look up at the sun and you don't know how it got there. That's God talking to you. I put it there. Right? Like I said, you walk outside, you don't float off somewhere. How am I still on the ground when I know that there's places that don't have gravity? Because I'm sustaining gravity. Like he's talking to you with all those things, and everybody gets to see that. What's the next verse say there? The next verse says, day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. Like, look at that. Every day God is talking to you through creation. Period. Just look around. Look at how things work, man. Just look at the different species, the insects, the birds. He's talking to you every single day. Everybody gets that knowledge. But the special things that you find that are contained in the Bible, those are for his people. Those are for the ones that believe in him. It's for you. It's like there's a new bagel place, new coffee and bagel place called Best Friends over here on 136. I've been there like 3-4 times already, right? Yeah, it's awesome, okay? And here's the thing. When you get there, they got this menu with this chalkboard, and everybody can see that menu, right? And see what's on the menu. And there's a lot of good stuff on the menu. But since I know the creator of Best Friends Bagels and Coffees, he tells me special stuff. He's like, man, actually, you can get it with the coconut milk and the extra shot of this and all that, and don't even cost you extra. I was like, for real? Why don't you put that on the menu? He said, because that's not for everybody to know. It's for those who got relationship with me. Ooh, I said that'll preach. I was like, ooh, that's going to preach. He even took me to a back room, and I thought he was giving me more special information. Then he told me everybody can come back there, so I got a little upset about that. But I still claim it. I still claim it like it was just for me in the moment, right? But no, it's the same thing. Like, because I know the creator of Best Friends Bagel and Coffee, or Coffee and Bagel, I got to get it right, Bob Goodpaster and his wife, Amy, because I know them personally and have a relationship and have spent some time with them and invested into what they're doing, he gives me special revelation. He gives me special information about things. I know the vision of why it's there. I know why the logo looks the way it does. I know how they make some of the stuff they do. He gives me stuff that nobody else knows unless they're in relationship with him. It's the same thing with God. The deeper your relationship with him, the more you're going to know about him. I don't know about you, but I don't just tell anybody my business. Well, I do, but my wife don't tell anybody her business. I tend to tell everybody my business. My wife don't tell anybody her business. You have to know her. She's close. She's quiet. She's like, yo, if you want to know more about me, you got to spend time with me. And I'm sure most of you are like that as well, right? So why is it different with God? Why is it like I ain't got to put no time in to know more about God? Well, it's because you don't respect them, you don't love them the way you say you do, and that's it just is what it is, man. It's sad. It's a sad context that we sing all these songs on a Sunday morning, but we don't want to spend no time with them on a Monday night. And it's just sad. So it's the will of God as well for us to be adequate, complete, and for us to be capable or equipped. And then my last point, it says in that scripture, 2 Timothy 3:17, it finishes off. And it says, so the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So the sufficiency of scriptures is God's work. You want to know what God wants you to do, it's in the scriptures. God's work, the sufficiency of scriptures. You have his word that shows you his ways, tells you his will, so that you can do his work. Open up your Bible more often. What is it? I beg for you to just take a moment, just stop before we get ready to go to this last song. I just beg for you to take a moment and think through that. Think through the excuse you made yesterday. Was you just too busy? Is that what it was? What's the excuse you made this past week? And here's what happens. The more you know about his word, the more you start to live with his word, you ain't even really got to open the Bible because it's his word. If you just rehearse it to yourself and think through it, I mean, there's many times where I may not physically open my Bible, but I'm thinking through a verse that I'm about to preach or something, and I'm just thinking through. And once again, don't say, well, Rashad, you're a pastor. You have to do that. No. I'm a child of God. I have to do that. Amen. I'm a child of God, so I have to do that. It's a necessity. So I'm asking you, as we get ready to sing this song, give me faith. The words say, give me faith to trust what you say. If the Bible says to long for his word like pure milk, do you trust him enough to do it? Like, seriously, that's what it all comes down to. Do you trust God enough to do exactly what he says to do? And if you don't, then that's where your prayer should be this morning. For him to increase your faith, increase your trust. Father, I believe, help my unbelief. Because I want to go deeper. I want to know more about you, but I'm not even sure if you're really going to give me the desire to do that. You said you would, and I need help trusting that. That's where I started. I was like, Father, I'm reading all this stuff about you, but I still don't love your word. I'm actually bored by it. That's where I started. It bores me. I go to sleep. When I read it, I'm doing it so I can go to sleep. That's where I started. But you said you'll give me the desire to yearn for you more, so I'm trusting that you're going to do that, and that's my prayer every day. Before I knew it, I can't get enough of God's word. So I'm asking you guys to do the same, to step up your game. We here at Church on the Rock, we teach so much grace. so much grace because of my background. That's kind of how I lead. The grace is so important. But here's the obedience side of things. True love for God obeys God. And his word says to take it in, to let it correct, convict, challenge, and convert you. Amen? All right, so please stand with us as we sing this last song.
Thank you for taking the time to join us on this podcast from Church on the Rock here in Brownsburg, Indiana. If you would like any more information about our church family, our pastor, or where we meet, please visit our website, www.churchontherockbb.com.